Hello, everybody. This is Haixi. Welcome to Cloud Cover Show. Today, I'm joined by Elliot and Chris,
everybody.
Talk about mobile apps. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Chris Anderson. I work on the Azure App Service team, focusing mainly on mobile and Node.js. So.
Okay. So before, we know the Azure services, like Azure websites and mobile services, mm-hmm. and there have been some changes.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us some big picture, what's changed and how different pieces are fitting together?
So before, mobile services and websites kind of lived off in their own separate world as their own separate services, but they shared a lot of the same kind of feature set, you mm-hmm. know, continuous integration, support for different languages like Node and ASP.NET.
Yep.
And so what there was kind of this consolidation where we took the mobile experience, the web experience, and we've got this new experience called API apps. And we've put them under this common kind of shell called app service. And so now you can have a web app, a mobile app, an API app, but you've got a similar experience as you're trying to manage these. So continuous integration, language support, all of these things work the same no matter whether you're using a web, mobile, or API app.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense because they're all part of the same story.
Exactly. And so, and that's what we were finding when we were talking with customers, that is they'd be trying to build their mobile app, and then simultaneously they'd also have to be worrying, well, how do I host my web app? How mm-hmm. can I have them talk to each other? How can I have them communicate? So with the new platform of the app service, you actually have a very, very easy way of being able to present that whole story.
Okay. So you now your application kind of has have a mobile part, API part, and the web part, mm-hmm. and you can manage all three pieces as a complete unit?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So first, you know, if you are familiar with mobile services, you're familiar with this dashboard. So if you go to manage.windowsazure.com, you kind of see that you have the ability to monitor your service, you've got the ability to see your data, you have API, scheduler push, all of these features. We took all of these features and we kind of started from the ground up and trying to make sure that we addressed some other concerns that the customers had. Things like being able to do local debugging with Node.js is really helpful, so that way you don't have to push your code up to the cloud before you can actually test and run it. So the new experience now looks like this. So if you go to portal.azure.com, you now will get an experience when you open up your mobile app where you can see your status here just the same, but a lot of your settings have actually moved into the settings blade. And you can see here that we have our get started experience still. You still have the ability to manage your data connections. Mm-hmm. And then you still have the ability to hook up your notification hub and manage that. And in this case, we've actually kind of changed the way that we did authentication. And so now you actually have a common gateway. So you can have multiple mobile applications and have them all kind of share the same auth story. So that way you don't need to configure auth for every single mobile app. You just need to set it for one thing for your app service plan, and then you're good to go.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So this gateway, once you authenticate against this gateway, you can call the mobile apps as well as the API apps? Is that how it works?
Yeah, if your API app and your mobile app are using the gateway to do authentication, mm-hmm. they can use the same token to communicate between the applications.
I see.
There's a little bit of magic that makes that work here and there, and a lot of people will still do random authentication things with their web app. So there's still work to be done to make sure that they integrate correctly, but with this tool, if you choose to use it, mm-hmm. you can hook up your authentication between your applications really simply.
Hmm. I see. Yeah, makes sense.
So that's kind of a high-level view of what's changed in terms of bringing the mobile service experience over, highlighting some of the cool things that you get now that you're using app service, and we're able to kind of combine forces of all these different type of technologies, is now we actually have things like continuous deployment for mobile apps. So mm-hmm. you can hook this up with lots of different things. Here you can see that I'm actually hooked up to just a local Git, so just deploy my code directly to my site. But if I disconnect this, I can actually see my different options here. It's processing. We'll let that finish. We actually have something new called deployment slots. So often people would have separate mobile sites for their production and their staging environments. Mm-hmm. And now you can actually have slots, which are basically just children of the production site, and you can do a swap. And so now you don't actually have to change any of your settings or worry about your URL changing. It's not a fresh code deployment. You're literally just changing the pointers in our front end.
Hmm. I see. Okay, all these features are previously from the website service.
Yes.
Now they are brought over and you can enjoy those
exactly.
Mobile apps. Okay.
And one thing that has changed is we used to have the scheduler service inside of mobile services, yeah. but now you can actually take advantage of the full suite of things inside of web jobs. So you can just use the scheduler service with it, web jobs. You can also, that also means that you can now take advantage of like the queue and blob storage stickers that web jobs has.
Yeah, that's great. Actually, it was one of the confusing points. We have web jobs, where we have schedulers on mobile service. Now it's just one thing. Right?
Exactly.
Cool.
Okay, so that kind of highlights some of the things that we do here. So we can kind of talk about the features and how that works now. So what you did in mobile services, if we can kind of take a step back into the past, if you click on your table here, you can go ahead and view the different script items that your table has. Mm-hmm. So we see here that I have this redness. So you can see here that I have my different script operations. So here I have an insert script operation. And what I'm doing here is I'm just trying to insert a user ID. And in this case, I'm also sending an Apple push notification. Hmm. We have the same pattern, but one of the issues that we ended up having with this is if you wanted to customize anything else about the application, or if you wanted to also host a web app with your mobile service, we controlled the entire pipeline. So there's no way to extend or customize the SDK in any way. Yeah. So the first thing that we started with, and we can jump over here into the code now, is if you look at this, and let me get to the actual server.js. If you look at the server.js, the first thing you'll notice that there's actually an Express web server as the first thing that we require. And so what we've done now with our SDK is we now actually just take the normal Express web server, mm-hmm. and we go ahead and just attach ourselves to the Express web server. So this means that if you have an existing web app which uses Express to host it, mm-hmm. you can actually just attach the mobile app on top of that existing Express site. There's no need to deploy a whole new site and manage that site separately.
Wow, that's cool. Okay.
So the magic that kind of happens here is in this mobile app.attach function. So in this, there's a series of middleware that you can hook up separately by yourself, but we know that a lot of people with mobile services liked how easy it was to get out the door as quickly as possible. Oftentimes, you're trying to build these mobile apps as kind of a demo for people, and so we want to give the tools to make sure that you can still do that where you deliver something incredibly quickly.
Yeah, you want to lower that barrier to entry.
Exactly. So here, we're actually going ahead and just setting up all the default middleware. We take some settings from the environment variable, and you can actually specify a object here to mobile apps. But if you give us nothing, we'll take it all from the environment variables that are normally set up inside of your mobile app space. So when you're using those different portal setting options that I showed you before, authentication, data connection, et cetera, we actually hook up those connection strings from the environment variables for you, so you don't have to manage that yourself.
Cool.
For local development, you'll still want to figure out your local development story. I tend to recommend still using environment variables, but you can also have a config file sitting on your file system and just have that reference that. Just make sure you don't check that into your code anywhere.
That might not be good.
Yeah.
Cool. I guess one of the most favorite feature of mobile service was how it was turnkey solution, so you can get the application out.
Yes.
It seems you're extending the platform, but you're keeping that turnkey characteristics in the platform.
Yeah, it's definitely the goal. We've really focused on making sure that it's still very easy to get up and running, but we wanted to make sure that people would extend it. You know, every week I'd get a question of, oh, how can I do this? How can I do that? And it was, you have to do it for each operation. Mm-hmm. Now you can actually just use proper Express middleware to do a lot of the operations you wanted to do before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like if we hop over here into do.js, this is our normal quick start. If you go ahead and deploy this to the portal and download the client code via the get started experience, this will run against it and you can go ahead and actually talk to what we have going on here. Hmm. So once again, we've kept this very simple. All that I actually need in this file to make sure that to do item table exists is go ahead and these two lines of code. All I'm doing is I'm grabbing down my library that I have for Azure Mobile Apps. I'm then creating a new table and adding that to the module.exports. And that line that we saw here in server.js, the mobile app tables.import, is pointing at a directory and grabbing all the tables out of that directory. So that way you don't need to go and require each and every single one of them. Once again, you can require each one individually and just add it, but we wanted to make sure that people didn't have to edit a lot of code in server.js, so that way they could get going as fast as possible and stay inside of the kind of tables mindset of developing mobile apps. Mm-hmm. So here we now have we still have the ability to modify the table operations. So here you can see my table.insert function, very similar to what I had going on in mobile services. And here I'm just taking the item off of the context and I'm appending to the text field that I'm great, because I just want everyone who uses my to-do item app to be reminded of that every single time that they're going on.
That's important.
It's very important, especially for my devs. So so here we have this is where we get into the kind of the middleware sense. So now instead of having to have a whole bunch of code inside of my insert operation where I'm doing validation, et cetera, I can actually kind of take that and put that up another level. So here I have a middleware that's being executed every single time I get a request. And so if I run this now, I can actually see that every single time I try to do a read against the database, mm-hmm. I'm just going to get this request received log thing, just something kind of silly here. So we can actually kind of see this live running right now if I pop over here. So we can go ahead and do npm start, because I've got that set up. It doesn't like that. Okay. Oh, that would help. Okay, so you actually see here, as soon as we get up off the ground, that since I didn't set up any environment variables before I did this, that I've actually gotten a warning saying that I didn't set up authentication. All of my calls will be public, and that's not a good thing. So it's generally not a good thing. You can suppress this message if you want to, if you do intend to have them public, but generally we're finding that people are using their APIs authenticated and that we want to warn them if they're not doing that.
Right.
So now we can actually go ahead and make a request against this, and I'm just going to use Postman because that's nice and simple. So you can see here that I can do a fetch against this, and I'm going to return no results because I haven't added anything to the table yet. So we can go ahead and just add an item real quick. And so we're going to do text, show me the money, it's complete is false. We send this, and if we go ahead and request all of our items back again, we see that show me the money, Chris is great because I added that message, and we still have complete false. And all it took was that little line there. But if we gave it nothing at all, this would still work. It just wouldn't have my little Chris is great thing appended.
Right.
So one thing that I'll show here, just kind of get the point across, is if I go ahead and restart and do this over again, you'll notice that I don't have any records here. And it's because I didn't set up a database connection in my environment variables. But what we've added to this to enable people to do local development without having to connect to a database every single time, if it works in your scenario, we'll actually have to do just an in-memory provider here. So that way you can play around with it. You don't need a SQL database. You can play with this anywhere you want, and it still works.
That's really handy for dev.
And another great thing is if you notice I'm using a Mac here, and what we've done is we've actually used a SQL database driver that's also Mac compatible. So you can run, you can connect to your SQL database via your Mac and develop entirely from your Mac, never have to touch a Windows machine to develop your Azure mobile application.
That's really cool.
So, and so you can see here, I can go ahead and post back to it, fetch my results, and I've got the same thing back again. So all I have to do is add the connection string as my MS table connection string environment variable, and I now can save this to look at the development environment if I wanted to.
Cool.
You can also use like a local database if you wanted. So, very handy. So kind of moving forward from there, the other key things that you tend to worry about are authentication, offline sync, and push notifications. So setting up authentication is pretty much just as easy as anything else that we had in the past. To use authentication, very similar to the .NET experience, it's basically just an attribute on your table. So what we can do here to force the table to be authorized is we can do table.authorize, and then just set this equal to true. And if we've done this, when it goes ahead and imports the table, it'll run some middleware for us that'll go and check that the user context is set. And the user context will be set as long as it has the gateway connection string as part of its environment variables. So once again, environment variables and configuration are, we do a lot of magic behind the scenes to make sure you don't have to hook all those things up yourself.
Right.
But you always can. We always open it up. So that way, if you ever wanted to extend the SDK, have your own plugins for the SDK, it's really easy to just grab onto those things and party.
I notice here you use the British spelling of authorize. Is that, do you support either way?
We have a Australian developer as our primary developer, and so our first release here has primarily the UK spellings, but we plan on having kind of support for all of the different ways that you want to go about this.
Okay.
I prefer the auth because it kind of keeps me unopinionated, and it's also shorter, and I like short.
So what kind of authentication protocols we support here, or you can plug in anything?
Yeah, so if we go to the portal, we can actually add a gateway real quickly if we want to. And this is an annoying thing where Postman takes over Chrome. So if we go to the portal and we go to this, you can see that we have this kind of walkthrough for how to set up mobile authentication. So first we need to create a gateway. To do this, we need to make sure that we actually have an app service plan and there's a gateway in our app service plan. So since I haven't created a gateway, I'm going to go ahead and just press this button and it's going to run now. And so once that happens, it's going to basically hook everything up for me on the back end, the connection string essentially. And then we can go into the gateway and we can set up Facebook authentication, Twitter authentication, Google authentication, Microsoft account, and Azure Active Directory.
Okay, cool.
So the authentication story is still kind of moving. We want to make the experience really slick. We want to open up custom authentication, things like that. So those are the kinds of areas where we're investigating and trying to make the experience better. But if you need to do a simple social authentication or use Azure Active Directory, for instance, for your line of business applications, it's really simple to get up and off the ground. So if we jump back into our mobile app, we can see if our gateway got created. It did. So if we Moving too fast. If we go ahead, and now you can see that we have the ability to set up our identity providers. So Active Directory, and all we have to do for this is if we go and create a new application in Azure Active Directory, we add the client ID that we connected to and the mm-hmm. tenants that we're going to allow through this, and you can allow multiple tenants if you need to. And there you go. Voila, you have Azure Active Directory hooked up, ready for your application to go.
That's really easy.
Yeah. So, and once again, the only thing that you need to do to start making that work inside of your application is use that authorize. And you can also just write your own custom middleware. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we saw before was people were having to do their own custom authorization schemes within this table operation here. You can now write it once and use it as middleware, and you don't need to write code every single time. You can have it just as a single middleware operation, for instance, looking up permissions from a permissions table and matching it against a user ID. That's mm-hmm. really easy to do once and use it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Speaking cool. of custom middlewares, are we allowing users to bring in any Node.js modules into the solutions?
Yeah, they can bring whatever they want. So they own everything that you see here. So custom, we have no, we have nothing that we do behind the scenes to make this SDK behave in any particular way. That means that you have full control. I'm actually using NPM 4.0 here, and I'm using a later version of NPM. Mm-hmm. NPM 3, by the way, is great for deploying onto Azure Web Apps because they finally have Flatten working correctly. And so instead of having the big, long file directory trees that you used to see in NPM 2, we now get a nice flat directory tree. So it makes it a lot easier to kind of manage deploying these things onto Windows environments where you get max path issues.
Right.
And Node 4 is just great. You know, the support of a lot of the ES 2015 features just makes it a lot more slick. It's a lot more modern to use.
Cool. So,
and we had support for that the day after it came out. So we're keeping up with the new things happening in Node for the most part. So yeah, you can bring whatever package you want in here. So for instance, let's say that I want to. One of the things that you couldn't do really before with mobile services is have a really good test plan. Mm-hmm. So we can go ahead and add testing to this if we wanted to right now. So we can go ahead and we can do npm install Mocha, right? And I'm just going to save this. I should save it as a dev dependency, but keep things simple. So there I have Mocha now, and I'm going to just, since I have the npm test command set up in my package.json, I can do npm test. And it's not going to find that there's any test folder here, so it's going to go ahead and fail out on me. But if I make a test folder here, and we can go ahead and just create a simple test. And so we're just going to call this server test. And another great application that we can use is Supertest, which allows you to kind of take an existing Express application and you just attach it onto the Supertest, and then you can test different APIs. So we can go ahead and just test that when I start up the application and I call git on my table, that I get returned an array of some size.
Yeah.
Right, and so we can do npm install Supertest, save that. And now it's fairly simple for me to go ahead and do. I'm going to try to remember how to do this off the top of my head. But I should be able to do require my server.js that I have there below. So I'm just going to call this my app. Oh, wait, that's not going to work. So the new way of using Express, and I'm not going to change my code here necessarily on the fly, but the new way of using Express with Express 4 is generally you export from this thing your Express application, and then you have a bin www file. That way it's really easy to hook up test things like this. So in this case, I went with the lazy route, and I had it all in a single file, and it's now bit.me. So the proper way of doing this is the reason that you do this is so that you can actually write proper tests against this. But if I had properly exported this out of here and then run it from the bin file, I should be able to go in here. I would be able to then require my server.js file. And I would be able to kind of go ahead and do, I think it's, I just pass the app into there. And then I can do things like testing the actual APIs against this. So that pattern is now allowed. Before, you had to create your own harness to kind of test the different APIs that we had, and that was a real drag. Mm-hmm. So now you can use all the same tools that you're used to using for setting up testing.
Cool. This is really great.
Yeah. So, and then everything else kind of comes like normal. So I said that I was just using the quick start. I'm just using the quick start here, so I can actually, this is the quick start that I just downloaded from the portal. I did it so we didn't have to wait here. And this is going to be very big because I'm on the screen. So make that a bit smaller. So here you can see that I have this is just connected to my actual app that I have running. So I've deployed the code that I was showing you here, and it's just running out there. So here it's trying to fetch some results. But what I can do is I can go ahead and just give it anything. So we can do hello world and hit my add button. And let's go ahead and add my hello world item. And we can go ahead and just double check that we're actually hitting this and go to my application that I have running out there. And we want to do get. And see here that I actually have my hello world items right here at the top. But what you don't see is that I have a whole bunch of things here that I've actually marked as completed. And so that's why you don't see them in this list, is because when I go ahead and swipe here and hit complete, it gets marked as complete equals true in my data source. Yeah. And in this case, it's actually saving it and persisting it because I have it hooked up with the database that I had set up in my portal. Cool. So didn't have to do anything different when I deployed it.
Yeah, I just want to say, in case you're wondering about this completed, this is the famous mobile service to-do list, some publication that we've been using for the past few years, right? Yeah. So basically, you see a list of to-do items, and you can check if an item is complete.
So that and then that you can still get from the portal. We kind of brought that over to our new experience. So if you go to the portal, and you click on the mobile get started button, you can choose your different platforms here. So I chose Xamarin iOS, and I just ran and deployed this client. I didn't change anything. So they go ahead and add all the things to it that you need, which is basically the only thing you need to change from the one that we have up on our GitHub is you need to change the connection strings here. So that's all that you need in your actual client. And so, speaking of GitHub, the kind of last big thing that we're like really happy about is that we've actually open sourced this thing from the very beginning. And all of our docs and APIs are actually also up on azure.github.io. So you can actually go and see our full code up here. You can make your own pull requests. If you have extensions and things like that, you can go ahead and let us know, and we'll link off to your extensions that you want people to kind of see. And same thing for our documentation. If you see anything wrong with our documentation, if you want to extend it at all, feel free to go ahead and send us an issue or a pull request. And we're really happy to kind of work with the community and open up what we're doing. Whereas in the past, we kind of kept the server code closed. Here, from the very beginning, we're going to be open.
Very cool.
So for the documentation, is this on the GitHub? Are they going to be in the Azure.com as well?
Yeah, so we still have all the Azure.com articles. So you see here, you can see the adding authentication to a Xamarin iOS app. And we'll have guides on how to add the different features to your mobile app in the Azure.com documentation. But for the actual raw API docs, it makes a lot more sense to have them hosted with the code. So that way, if we ever do a version update where we rapidly change the API structure, but you don't want to upgrade to that new version, you can easily go and fetch the previous API doc version. So that way, all that stuff is supported long term. You can adopt our SDK at any time and not worry about losing support later on.
Cool. So we'll add a link to the GitHub repository at the bottom of the show.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. So if people have more questions, how do they reach out to you guys?
Yeah, so we have a Twitter handle, at Azure Mobile.
So you can
ask
do
us
this.
A question. At Azure Mobile.
Okay, cool.
you can reach out to us at any time. We have a Slack bot, which will pick up on those tweet messages, and so we go ahead and answer them as soon as we see them. So
cool.
We try to be really quick at answering questions.
Cool. Do you have your own Twitter handle you want to share?
I'm at Crandy Codes.
Crandy Codes.
Crandy
okay.
Codes.
We'll make sure those links are at the bottom of the video page.
Don't confuse it with Candy Crush.
Yeah, it's not Candy. Crandy Codes, Candy Crush. And I have a trademark issue. So.
All right. This is great. It's really good to catch up on the new development in the mobile apps.
And we're changing things. We're still changing things quickly. We're hoping to be more agile. Before, we were still locked. I think we're still locked on mobile services on version 0.8.22 of Node. Mm-hmm. And we plan on making sure that we're adding features and keeping up to date with the most recent version of Node so you can use all the newest features as they're coming out. We want to make sure that if you like developing with Node, you're happy. And if you just want a simple backend using JavaScript, we also keep you happy.
Cool. And because this is open source from the beginning, we highly encourage you to make contributions and to make this product even better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, guys.